From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum this morning, in recent weeks, KQED News and the Bay Citizen have been doing a series of open newsroom events at bars and cafes as a way to connect our audience to reporters and editors. And in that spirit, we open our phone lines in this next hour to get your ideas for news stories and Forum segments. Nobody presumably knows your community and the challenges it faces better than you do, or better than your neighbors, and what stories and issues are most important to you. Raul Ramirez, Executive Director of News and Public Affairs for KQED Public Radio, and Julia McAvoy, Senior News Editor for KQED News, will be joining us, and we want to hear from you. Our toll-free number, 866-733-6786, or email forum at kqed.org. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to this morning's Forum program. KQED News and the Bay Citizen have held open newsrooms, mixers or meetups with editors and reporters in cafes and gathering places in Oakland, Alameda, Menlo Park, and San Jose to find out what issues matter most to you, our listeners. In fact, the next meetup will be held on Friday, June 1st at Clean Express in Richmond from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And we assume that no one knows your community and the challenges it faces better than you do, or better than your neighbors. And so we want to hear from you this hour about what you see as the important issue or issues, challenge or challenges facing your community. What do you feel ought to be getting more coverage, either from the news staff or from this, your weekday Forum program? Help us to know what your needs for reporters and editors and for this program are so we can continue to best serve you and keep you as well informed in news and public affairs coverage as we possibly can. And let me give out the phone number now, because this will be an open newsroom this hour. Like to call us, you can do that at our toll-free number. It's 866-733-6786. Again, feel free to join in here and contribute what you think we should be covering, either in the news department here at KQED or on Forum at our toll-free number, 866-733-6786. And, of course, there are other ways that you can communicate your needs to us or what you think we ought to be covering more. Our email address, forum at kqed.org, or join us on our website, kqed.org/forum. Click on the segment or go to our Facebook page. With us in studio, Raul Ramirez, Executive Director of News and Public Affairs for KQED-FM. And good morning, Raul.
Good morning, Michael.
We'll also say good morning to Julia McAvoy, who's also with us in studio here this morning, Senior Editor of KQED News. And good morning, Julia.
Thanks for having us, Michael.
Good to have you both. And Julia, let me begin with you. Talk a little bit, if you would, about the genesis of this and so far what it's led to.
Well, you know, you might remember that we went into various San Francisco neighborhoods right ahead of the 2010 election and asked people in various communities there, what matters, what are the issues of importance here, and what do you think the next mayor should do to address your issues? That editorial input, if you will, from citizens throughout San Francisco kind of drove our coverage and the kind of stories that we tackled. And it was very satisfying to sort of have, you know, regular citizen input helping us shape the kind of things that we resulted in reporting on. And we felt that that was very relevant to the folks that we were connecting with and hopefully to the larger listenership. This time around, it was very funny. Ian Hill, who works with us here in the newsroom on social media stuff, popped his head and he said, "Hey, what do you think about doing open newsrooms with the Bay Citizen?" And I'm like, "What are they?" And he said, "Well, they've been doing them for a while. You know, they meet in these small, intimate gatherings. They talk with people. It's like a meetup. It's very informal. You have a beer maybe with somebody at a bar and you talk about issues that are important to them." And I said, "Sounds great." So he began the ball rolling. And as you mentioned, we've already been in Oakland at this place called The Actual Cafe, which was great. We had Cy Musiker and myself were there. And then we went to the Alameda was Z's Cocktail Lounge. And then we went to Menlo Park. And then San Jose was last night with Peter Schuler, who reports from the South Bay quite a bit. So he was just there. So the idea is basically let's check in with people in communities that we may not hear from enough. Let's find out what's going on at the very granular local level.
And sample then beer at all the hangouts throughout the Bay Area.
Right? Have a beer with your friends. And then this is input for us, right? It's input that we can use to begin connecting the dots between that micro and level to the regional, to the national, even international. I think that's really what's best about KQED News, hopefully, is that we'll be able to draw connections between issues like, you know, the local dog park problem in Oakland with issues that are larger that resonate across the Bay Area.
We haven't been to San Francisco yet with an open newsroom, right?
Well, we didn't because we felt we did so much work on the Dear Mayor part. Yeah. So we've heard a lot of San Franciscans saying, "Hey, what about us?" And we said, "Well, we were there. We'll circle back. We love this idea. We'd love to keep it going."
So this has been valuable, Raul. It's been illuminating, useful.
great ideas, a great sense of place for each one of these locations. I have not been at the locations, but it's what I hear back from the individuals who've been there. In some ways, this is not entirely new, except for the way in which we're implementing it. I go back 20 years ago, some of our listeners will recall the Voice of the Voter campaign, where we teamed up with the San Francisco Chronicle and KRON Television and held events and invited people to send us questions. It was all centered around election coverage and the coverage of election-related issues. And when the elections went away, so did the project eventually. Before that, I go back to years when I worked with Robert Maynard at the Oakland Tribune, where the editors, from the publisher on down to lowly editors and reporters like me, will go out into various communities in the East Bay, principally in the Oakland area, and listen to people bring their concerns and ideas. What is different now is that we are really looking at implementing coverage of the ideas that we find always operating, as Julia intimated, in the context of looking at a local issue, but also looking at how that issue may be affecting other communities. In the area, we know that when a community experiences a particular problem, that it is likely that that is not the only community that is experiencing that. And in any case, what we're looking at doing is providing storytelling that, regardless of where you live, you find interesting, informative, compelling, the kind of offerings that people are used to receive from KQED.
Do you also find grist for the, well, call it investigative mill?
We hope so.
I mean, because the partnership with Bay Citizen suggests that. And, I mean, Center for Investigative Reporting has been very involved with Bay Citizen. Yeah.
That is true. And they are two faces of the same institution now, except that Bay Citizen, of course, has an extremely local focus on the work that it does. And, yes, we are looking. We have been involved in investigative projects in partnership with the Center for Investigative Reporting. We're looking forward to being involved in a similar manner with Bay Citizen. But in terms of the information that we're picking up out of these meetings, the idea is to take the information back and to use it as it is appropriate to the plan of coverage of our institutions, not to compete and to race to the finish, but to look for opportunities to collaborate and to look for opportunities to do what each one of us do in different ways.
Well, I said I would open things up here, and in fact, let's do that now. I'll hear from you, our listeners. There are a number of ways to communicate with us. All of the lines are busy, which is a good sign, but you can join us at our toll-free number, 866-733-6786, when a line does become available. And there are other ways to join us. You can email us, forum@kqed.org, or post any suggestions you have or recommendations for our reporters and editors on our website, kqed.org/forum. Click on the segment or go to our Facebook page, Julia.
We can also, you can send in a Twitter idea using the hashtag Open News. So if you're on Twitter, you want to use that instead, that's the hashtag Open News.
And that's with two N's in the center. It's open and then news.
And this is really, let me just say editorially, a really splendid opportunity for those of you who have concerns and who are, well, active citizens to really get involved in a public broadcast and a public news program that we offer you, of course, and like to think is keeping you well enlightened. Let me go to our callers and find out indeed what's on your minds. And we begin, Shazia, with you. Shazia, excuse me.
Hi, Michael. Yes,
hi.
It's Shazia. First of all, I have three quick comments. So first of all, I want to just say to you and your guest that this is a great idea. I think we should you should consider doing this more than maybe once or twice a year. And my other two comments are just suggestions on potential topics. I think with the election year upcoming, I think and with us being here in the Bay Area, and we're such a vibrant and diverse community, I think it would be great to hear sort of the viewpoints of those smaller community, not smaller, but just the different communities we have. Maybe, you know, focus on maybe the Muslim community, sort of what are their thoughts as we go into this election, maybe some of the Asian or the Latino communities. I think that's just fascinating to just me as a Bay Area and to learn about, you know, the different communities and their thoughts. I think that's number one. And then number two, I think, again, it's, I think, a positive thing. You know, maybe we look at some of the the not-for-profit philanthropy that some of these groups are doing. For example, in the South Bay, the Muslim community has lots of great not-for-profits that they do that make some great impact around the world. I know some other smaller communities do the same thing. So I think it'd just be great to get that perspective out there.
Well, I think you raised some important points, obviously. And Raul, let me go to you on this, because we often think of communities in terms of Alameda, Fremont, but she's really talking about ethnic communities and specific minority communities.
Oh, absolutely. And we're very much aware. I mean, one of the wonderful things about being journalists and having a public media institution like ours in the Bay Area is that there is such a rich human landscape to really explore. And you're right. It's not along the political lines that define what cities and counties are, but it is more of a horizontal experience that we can tap into it, what we do. We're constantly looking for new ways, not only to new ways to cover existing communities that we've been aware of all along, but also ways in which we can discover the emergence of new communities. And certainly, the caller's point is well taken. The city of Fremont has been known as a city where you have a well-established Afghan community. Well, the city of Fremont also, in some ways, you could argue, is an Indian community and is a Taiwanese community, as well as a community, and these will be immigrants as well as residents of longer tenure. So what I would like to ask, and we can do it on the radio, we can do it in other ways, via email and so on, is if you can suggest venues where we can turn to be able to tap into the expressions of community life in these communities, we can do the rest. Often what happens is we just don't know when a new community or a new venue has emerged, where to go.
Well, this is, again, Julia McAvoy, where citizens can be so helpful to you in the news department.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the beauty of these newsrooms is that we're walking out the door at the end of the night with all sorts of connections that we didn't have before, which is the point, right? In communities where we may not have our foot on the ground as much as we would like to because of, you know, staffing commitments in other areas, et cetera. So I'm thrilled to have this chance just to open the phone lines up and hear from people right now. It's a giant open newsroom right now. We're taking notes here. So,
keep taking.
Yeah.
In fact, let me before I go to more calls, go to some of the comments that are coming in on the web on our website, which again is kqed.org/forum. Simply click on the segment if you'd like to contribute. And I don't mean contribute as in Pledge Week. We're contributing ideas from you in terms of news ideas and things that you think we should be reporting and covering. Manayam writes, I would like to hear a discussion about the transportation infrastructure in California. We're planning a $70 billion high-speed train system between L.A. and San Francisco, while much of the congestion and pollution is within these cities. Now, of course, this is something that we have covered on Forum and will continue to cover. Here's Sam, who says, I would love it if Forum talked to student protesters in California from the UC, CSU, and CC system, as well as K-12. Students have been working hard to fight tuition hikes at the public universities with the long-term goal of reducing or eliminating tuition altogether, but these movements have gotten minimal attention, including from NPR, except when we are the victims of violent police repression. Well, not entirely true. I mean, we have covered certainly tuition raises and have had representatives from student bodies on, but something we could probably do a better job on, don't you think, Raul?
Well, definitely. I mean, we can always do a better job of going deeper into any segment of society, but this is one where we have attempted, in some ways, the configuration of Forum, that is, where we open up our microphones and ask people to call in and participate, is a way to reach out to those whose location we might not be aware of. Point is well taken, however. It is true that often in covering these issues, we tend to gravitate to people who hold the mantle of official titles and office holders and so on, or those who have skilled publicists to promote their perspectives. And those who fall behind are the ones who perhaps don't have as much of an infrastructure. And we need to do a better job.
Well, this is a way to give voice to many who don't necessarily have the publicists behind them or the degrees after their name or whatever. And we certainly like to get people on Vox Populi and Citizens as much as we can on Forum. And There's a web comment that says, Julia, illegal immigration. Why do politicians on both sides of the aisle constantly ignore this issue, allow these people to work and vote without proper identification, and threaten the states that are simply trying to enforce the federal laws already in place?
we are really trying to focus in on immigration issues here. And Mina Kim is the reporter who has had her eyeball on this for some time now. In fact, she just produced a rather provocative story about a young man who was, you know, brought here when he was 17 months old, and now he's trying to, well, he's going to pass the bar, but he can't get admitted because he's here illegally. And it raised these very fundamental questions that your listener just is raising, which is, you know, what are you thinking? This guy's not even here legally. How can he possibly be allowed to practice law in the United States? This doesn't make any sense to me. So these are complex issues that kind of touch the core, I think, on a lot of in a lot of people about just questions of right and wrong and the legal system in this country. So I'm hoping that she can continue, or you know, our reporting team can continue to address a lot of these issues. And yeah, I mean, this is a public institution, public radio here, KQED. You guys have ownership here. You know, you contribute, and I love the idea that you're able to sort of say, here's the kind of stuff that where we want to be going right now, because it may help us rethink sort of how we're aligning, you know, the kind of topics that we're going to be covering going forward. So keep them coming.
Here's Mac in Pittsburgh who says, how about a show about the non-NPR productions like PRI and PRX that KQED airs? I'm sure I'm not the only one who wonders who and what they are and what their relationship is to NPR.
Good idea.
Yeah, it is a good idea. All right.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
take that under advisement.
I'm trying to avoid getting into a rhythm where we hear an idea from someone and we try to respond to it. Let's say that our silence means we're writing it down.
Here's Bruno. It says, I'd like discussions on getting a constitutional amendment that would remove personhood from corporations. We've certainly taken on that on forum, but not the question necessarily of constitutional amendment. I mean, it's sort of filtered by. You were going to say something, Julie?
No, I just remember you did a show on that, and it was great.
Let's go to more of our callers, and we'll go to Berkeley. David, join us. You're on the air.
Hi. I'd like to see more emphasis on showing the connection between the business lobby and the business leaders and the UC regents. Oftentimes, we'll have business lobbyists who are lobbying for education cuts get appointed by the governor to a 12-year term as a UC regent. And we simply cannot maintain an effective higher education system unless the objective and the concentration is education, not business interests.
Well, what about those kind of that's sort of an investigation. I mean, if you broach it in a real sense, Julia McAvoy?
Yeah, well, our education reporter, Anna Tintakalos, who works very closely with Ingrid Becker of the California Report, has been zeroing in on higher education policy issues. But you're right. This is something that's a deeper dive. I know that Ingrid Becker at the editorial level has been looking at aligning with the Center for Investigative Reporting to create some investigative pieces. And this may be a very good topic for them.
It was certainly a big topic for the San Francisco Chronicle. I mean, for a while, in fact, they were jumping all over those business interests. And thank you, David, for your call. And we go to Dimitri next. Dimitri, join us on forum. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for taking the call. I wanted to ask one primary question. I'm a recent college graduate, well, 4 years out now, and I want to find out how I can get better involved with policies that directly affect me. I recently received the vote-by-mail ballot, and I was really appalled by the limited amount of verbiage that is on the ballot and how if you only read what's there, it really directs you to vote in one direction when the bulk of, I guess, the vote or the bulk of I guess what you would call that. If that vote were to pass, then something completely different in effect would actually go into law.
No, that's so true. We've, in fact, you know, people in our own newsroom have been running around scratching their heads on some of the prepositions. And then we said, gosh, if we don't get it, you know, chances are a lot of folks aren't getting it either. Let's talk about some of this stuff. So yesterday, you know, we talked about Prop 28 with John Myers. And we have, in fact, online a very comprehensive now and growing body of work that kind of tries to explain the primary, you know, questions that you're addressing in the vote come Tuesday. So just in terms of trying to educate yourself, you know, we hope KQED is already doing a good jab at that if you go online and check out our election coverage. But I think your first question was, how can you be more involved at the Civic Letter?
That was the first question he asked.
Yeah.
Well, you can certainly listen for him in KQED News more because we do a lot of extensive election coverage. Raul?
Well, not too long ago, a few nights ago, in fact, because I am involved in planning for the coverage of elections in the fall and so on, I tried to pretend that I could erase my knowledge of civic institutions and that I tried to sort of position myself as someone who is new to this community and who is trying to figure out how to be more aware and also be more involved in my community. And I went to the internet, and it's amazing how much I found in a 20-minute span in terms of civic organizations, people who are involved in my community and in the Bay Area in issues, and people who are, of course, advancing different viewpoints, but third-party organizations that are not particularly advancing any viewpoints but are promoting the involvement of citizens and promoting the bringing out and amplifying the voices of citizens and so on. So, Dimitri, I would definitely consider that to be one resource to turn to look for affinity groups who you're comfortable in sharing time and perspective with, and look for groups that provide fora for the discussion of ideas, including yours.
Let me go to some more emails from listeners. Issues to hear more about on KQED. Kurt writes, water in San Francisco, especially efforts to use recycled or desalinated water in the Sunset for human consumption instead of Hetch Hetchy water, and climate change in the way it is framed, because it wasn't always called climate change. That is the current politically correct term. It's been called the ozone hole, greenhouse gas emissions, and global warming, but the real term is human overpopulation. Talk about that. And you're laughing, Julia.
Oh, yeah. Well, just it's great. I love to hear from people. You know, I would say probably some of the greatest strengths of KQED at the moment in terms of topic areas of coverage is called, if we've got Climate Watch, you know, which is devoted entirely to these questions. And our science and environment coverage is very strong. Those are areas where I feel like all input is welcome, and those editors would be thrilled to hear from folks. But I feel like at least right there we're fairly comprehensive, and I think you too. You've checked these topics quite a bit on your program.
We do, and we also talk about water a lot. But in terms of specific water issues in San Francisco, Raul, we again probably could be doing a better job.
Absolutely.
If we were to go down all the ideas that have been suggested so far, and any that might be suggested in the next half hour, yes, we probably could do a better job. We've touched on some of them. We need individuals to make us aware of aspects of where we are misguided. Or aspects of coverage.
We have no problem on that score, usually.
That we might pursue. Well, you know, so that is true.
Or it's perceived as being misguided.
That is true. The price of having a very well-informed and active audience is that well-informed and active audience doesn't hesitate to let you know when you go astray, and that's wonderful, too.
You know, I just want to mention that, you know, coverage is dependent on people who can do the coverage, right? It depends on who you have to send out to do these stories. And, you know, there have been cutbacks to public radio stations across the country over the past several years, and we're now in the process of rebuilding, and the more we can get coverage of this stuff, the better. And we're all for it. We're also relying in creative ways on partnerships with people like the Bay Citizen and our news associates. We've got Berkeley Side and Oakland Local. Shout out to those guys, and SF Public Press and Peninsula Press. So we're all looking for ways across this media landscape right now for how can we cover the kinds of stories that people need to hear, and how do we do our duty as journalists in a way with often a lot less than we had before.
And again, Julia McAvoy is senior editor with KQED News. Raul Ramirez is executive director of news and public affairs for KQED-FM. On our Facebook, Felix writes, partisan politics creating utterly dysfunctional city councils start with Richmond. Well, there will be a meetup in Richmond, right? That's the next one.
Yeah, that's Friday, June 1st. Be there. We'd love to see you. It's the Clean Express at 1100 McDonald Avenue. This one's our only one that we scheduled during the daytime. It's from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., and Mina Kim, our reporter, will be there.
We will be back, and we'll hear from more of you when we return on Forum. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny, and in recent weeks, KQED News and the Bay Citizen have been doing a series of open newsroom events at bars and cafes as a way to connect our audience to reporters and editors. And in that spirit, Forum has opened its phone lines and is getting ideas, really, from you for news stories and Forum segments. Nobody presumably knows your community and the challenges it faces better than you and your neighbors. What stories and issues are most important to you? The next meetup, by the way, will be held on Friday, June 1st at Clean Express in Richmond, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And More information is available at kqed.org/community. We're having an open newsroom of our own here with our guests, Julia McAvoy, senior editor at KQED News, and Raul Ramirez, who is executive director of news and public affairs for KQED. And again, you can join us at our toll-free number. It's 866-733-6786, or email us, forum@kqed.org, or go to our website, kqed.org/forum. Click on this segment or go to our Facebook page, Raul Ramirez.
I just wanted to add an informational note. If you are not able to get through on the phones today or at any time in the future you develop an idea that you want to share with us, you can do so online. You can leave a comment at kqed.org/open newsrooms and suggest ideas the same way as you are now, and also comment on this conversation and our coverage in general. You can also become a source for KQED News at kqed.org/public insight, kqed.org/public insight. It's a little bit more formal process where we ask you to provide information about yourself and in your expertise, be it formal expertise in terms of education or a work or public office, or be informal expertise in terms of your life experience.
Well, as you know, we did forum programs based on the Public Insight Network with people who had done time in jail or prison. We also did one on adoptees, and you know, the programs go on, generated to a great extent by the information. Here's a listener. Shelley writes, good morning, Michael. I'd love to hear lots more about the implementation of transitional kindergarten throughout the Bay Area as mandated by State Senator Joe Simidian's recent Senate Bill 1381. I'd especially like to study how various districts, especially Oakland, my hometown, have implemented this program, but also I hope the issues of full-day versus half-day kindergarten could be addressed and the rigorous, and I'd say developmentally inappropriate, nature of the California curriculum in elementary school. No joke, today's kindergarten is the exact same curriculum it was used in first grade when I started teaching 25 years ago. Thank you for your suggestions, and we'll go to some of our listeners by phone here. Michael joining us from Oakland. Michael, good morning.
Morning. How are you?
Yes, sir. You're on the air.
Okay. Yes, I was calling in about truck drivers, OTR drivers. What a dangerous job it is, an unhealthy job. Me and my wife just completed 2 months of it, and it was a nightmare. Couldn't wait to get off the road. Thought it was a dream. Wanted to see the country, you know, and thought driving a truck was a good idea until we actually got down and did it. And probably scary and very unhealthy. And just want to let people know when they're out on the highways to keep an eye on those big rigs, because a lot of them are a lot of them aren't probably as alert as they think they are.
Now, that's a good safety suggestion. We thank you for that, Michael.
Yes, sir.
Raul?
No, I was not in,
taking
not
notes.
In my head. I'm taking notes crazy here.
Thank you.
Well, and it does bring me to mind, you know, the whole notion of the port community here, of which a lot of truckers interface with, which is truly a community unto itself. It's huge. It's got its own infrastructure. It's got accountability and everything else. It's another sort of community that would be great to sort of tap into in terms of coverage here.
Well, here's something that I know our jefe, Raul Ramirez, will address, because it's been something that we've thrashed around from time to time. Christine writes, KQED simply must include third-party candidates in debates. I refuse to pledge to KQED because of this issue. Here's your chance to win me back. Well, of course, you want to talk a little bit about the history of this? Because we used to have absolutely de rigueur every third-party candidate in the book.
And I insisted on that. And, Michael, you also were a player in making that happen. And a little bit of what we encountered was that there would be situations where we will have there are two situations you run up against. One is that the individual, and this happens in all in many races, the individual who feels that he or she is way ahead simply declines to participate. And then you have a conversation where there are fewer stakeholders, and you have situations where we are asking the audience to participate and ask questions, and there is no audience that steps forth to participate and ask questions. We do have to, in some ways, try to reconcile both the commitment to hearing those voices. I really strongly believe that it is not only in third parties, but what many consider among the major parties, whatever they might be in the particular jurisdiction, what many will consider to be candidates with no hope, maybe the candidates with the best ideas. And we are committed to that, and we're continually looking for ways in which we can bring those those voices on the air. Trying to stage debates involving a large number of candidates, it just doesn't get us to where we need to go. You end up having little snippets of viewpoints and not enough more. One of the opportunities that we have now is with the internet, which is something that we have not mentioned yet. If you think about radio, radio is it's a newspaper of the era, people used to call it, particularly public radio, but it's a newspaper with only one page, the front page. Everything we do, everything we air, it goes to every listener who's paying attention at that particular time. That really leaves us searching for ways in which we can provide information to other segments of the audience. And the internet is beginning to provide great opportunities for that. So I guess what I'm trying to say in that long-winded approach is that I totally sympathize with what Christine brought forth. And we are continuing to puzzle. If you have ideas, please, by all means, send them in to kqed.org/open newsrooms. Go there and leave additional ideas on ways in which we might be able to do this.
Now, sometimes it's just unmanageable. You have 16 candidates and some have very little funding, are polling, below 1%, that sort of thing. It's just reasonable to feel that you have to kind of sift and winnow.
What we have tried to do is to have internal standards that we utilize that include information such as, does the individual, whether it's third party or whatever, first or second party, would be, does the individual have a credible campaign? What is a credible campaign? Well, is the individual attending community fora? Does the individual have, as small as it might be, a budget, a campaign organization, and in this day and age, a website that indicates that this person is campaigning? We all know that they are perennial candidates who love to have their names on the ballot, who don't campaign, and later complain that we are not covering them. And you see their names year after year. After a while, you really look for more efficient use of your time. More efficient does not mean to block out interesting new ideas that are percolating up. We do need to do a better job of that.
One of our listeners writes, I'd like to see more on environmental issues, particularly invasive plants. There are wonderful people in this area who could speak. Thank you for that suggestion. Paul writes, for years I've wanted to hear a forum program on how the jury system works in California, who gets called, how often, who actually shows up, who gets seated. Again, a very good suggestion. It's been a number of years, though. I remember a program we did do on the jury system, but it goes back quite a way. Thank you for that. Kathy says, I've always been curious about the concept of groupthink. What is it? How it's different from individual thought and its effect on public opinion. A very good suggestion.
Sounds like a forum show to me.
It does sound like a forum show. I'm getting a lot of those. Peter, in fact, from Annapolis, California, says a suggestion for forum coverage of a burgeoning regional environmental issue in the coming year, conversion of coastal redwood forest to vineyards, expanding agriculture in a water-scarce forested watersheds of Sonoma, Mendocino counties. This isn't just about clear cuts, which eventually recover young forests. This is irreversible conversion of forest to ag, removing hilltops and soils to produce wine grapes. Coverage has been mostly local, and in local elections, wine industry has not faced up to the public on this issue. Again, thank you for all these excellent suggestions. And here's Malcolm, who writes, in recent years, I've suggested several times that the issues of war profiteering and the international arms industry be covered. As far as I can tell, it rarely has. War and the international growth of the arms business has not only killed and maimed millions, but increasingly redirects a large portion of the economy away from education, healthcare, and the environment. At present, almost 50% of all taxes are in one way or another dedicated to weaponry and the support of war. And that's probably more forum. Many news stories, Brian writes, are reported from one afternoon to the next morning. May I suggest that there are a lot of people like me who have heard the story the first time and don't want to hear it again? Most importantly, in switching between KLW and KQED, I observed that something KQED will preempt that sometimes, excuse me, KQED will preempt the NPR feed with a local story that's largely fluff. For example, a few weeks ago, the most important news story of the day, the judgment against Charles Taylor, was preempted by a piece on restaurants in Bayview Hunters Point. I would like to see KQED focus on more important issues. Leave the magazine pieces to their own slots rather than preempting better content from NPR.
I just want to point out, we have had huge. I'm paying a lot of attention to the Charles Taylor case. I happen to be interested for a variety of reasons. And we have had, I would say, excellent coverage. don't look for that coverage to be provided during the local segment times that we have. But look at what it, you know. It is true that sometimes we, when we cut away for a local segment, we go away from NPR coverage. But we have NPR coverage, BBC coverage, The World at in the afternoons. You know, we have. I would say that we have. KQED has presented a lot of coverage of the Charles Taylor situation.
And Forum covered it, too. Yeah.
So, again, if you don't hear it at the time, I'm not sure how you know what's aired at the time that we are airing local news, but I suppose you have two radios going. But nevertheless, you've become aware of that, and it is true that there are times when we make decisions and we have to make a choice between two stories. We do tend to lean in the direction of local coverage. It's where we can be unique. And we also tend not to ignore the coverage of national and international stories and the discussion on forum of those stories. But there was
a little bit of a suggestion in that email that maybe we're getting fluffy with some of the local stories.
We have a wide range of stories. I don't think that we're getting fluffy, but maybe there was a story that was a lighter feature
would be, why shouldn't there be lighter features? That's part of what we offer our listeners, isn't it? We do a lot of hard news.
It's in the eyes of the beholder.
And that is so very true.
Julia McAvoy.
That feature that he's referring to was part of a pilot called Food Adventures that Rachel Miro and Polly Stryker have proposed and sort of pioneered here, trying to talk about the intersection between culture and food and community here. And we thought we would see how it went and see how it goes. I'd love to hear from other people out there how they feel about that idea. You know, is food seems to be a big part of what we look at in the Bay Area here. And this is sort of trying to find out sort of where food and culture and immigrant communities in particular intersect. So if you looked at the large bulk of our coverage on a daily basis, the regional part of it is extremely minuscule. We have 1 minute and 40 newscasts at the top of some of the hours of the day, not the entire day, mind you, and certainly not through the evening. And these feature cut-in segments are rather rare. So I'd love to hear back from other folks besides that particular caller on this balance between, you know, local, regional, state, and international. Ideally, we've got a very healthy blend of all of it, and that's what we're striving for.
Now, this is your radio station, and so, I mean, the real message underlying much of what we're doing here in this hour this morning is we do want to hear from you, and when you have concerns, let us know. Raul?
And just an added suggestion, if you will go on the internet to kqed.org and you will do a search on the topic you're interested in, you might be able to see that we have other venues, that is on-air venues and times of the day when we have dealt with particular topics, and those are either accessible through some of our partner services and institutions or accessible because they have been archived by us. So that's another way. But again, we understand that we make decisions that sometimes are unpopular, and we need to hear from you when you consider those decisions to be just not the right decisions.
I want to just add in one more thought on that, because part of it was in response to just, you know, are we even covering the Bayview at all? And does anyone care what's going on in that particular community? So, you know, some folks are interested in Charles Taylor. Some people are interested in what's going on within the confines of Bayview and what sort of ability we have to dig in there and bring life and focus to undercovered communities of the Bay Area. It's a really good question. It's something we wrestle with on a daily basis.
And some listeners, like Angela, feel we're not doing enough on gender issues. She writes, I'm consistently disappointed that I rarely hear a feminist perspective given time on air, and that even when gender politics are discussed, the level of discussion almost always falls far below the quality of discussion on other issues and those generated from other perspectives. I guess this is particularly important at this point in time, as women are currently slowly losing rights that they once believed that they had won. The lack of attention to gender politics on KQED and the substandard quality in this area when they are discussed sadly seems actually to be part of the problem.
That's noted.
Noted, yeah. Jeannie, a former Forum intern, now with a Hayward Daily Review city editor and currently teaching journalism at Ohlone College in Fremont. Jeannie writes, community college cuts are hurting programs throughout the state, but among the hardest hit are journalism programs. At least three community colleges have had their newspaper online newsroom programs eliminated for the fall of 2012-2013, and these cuts not only hurt students who want to learn media skills, but eliminate vital and independent student voices on campuses. And Allegra from Oakland says, I'd like a program about the current threats in-home support services. I've heard that Governor Brown wants to abolish IHSS and switch to a managed care program that could result in more disabled people being institutionalized and could take away disabled people's chances to pick their own caregivers. Also, current budget cuts keep threatening the funding of IHSS. They're taking notes, so am I. And here's Eugene who says, I'd like to better understand why a non-transferable oil extraction fee is a non-starter in Sacramento. Lisa from Los Altos says, I'd love to hear some reporting on local issues here in Los Altos. We have a charter school that is growing and needs a new campus, which will probably result in the closure of one of our neighborhood schools. The community is being split apart by the wrangling between the involved parties, now including the Los Altos City Council, which is asking the Los Altos School Board to promise in writing that it does not plan to use the right of eminent domain to take over our civic center for a new school site.
That's exactly the kind of
local piece. I was going to say, that's right on the money, isn't it?
Well, because it resonates out, right? You know, certainly that's not just being felt in Los Altos. Those kinds of conflicts are happening throughout the Bay Area. We've got, you know, one education reporter, and she's doing her best to cover the entire state, you know. So we'd love to get to these stories, and we're looking for ways to make it happen. So I really appreciate these kinds of calls.
They're trans-based stories in so many instances, and those are indeed what I think it's safe to say we're all looking for. When the caller or somebody put on Facebook, those city council meetings are so dysfunctional, I'm thinking to myself, there's a program there. I mean, because there probably are many city councils, not just Richmond, according to that Facebook comment, that are dysfunctional. And we'll go to more of your calls. We'll go up to Sonoma. Chris, hi, you're on.
Good morning, Michael. Thank you for this opportunity to speak. I'm a longtime listener, first-time caller. I'd like to bring the panel up to date on something that's going on up here in Sonoma County, but it has effects in the entire area that PG&E is servicing. What's happening is PG&E has recently changed its tree trimming policy beneath its transmission lines to one of clear cutting. There have been numerous meetings up here in Sonoma County on this subject, but basically at this point PG&E is implementing a program to clear cut as many as 3,000 trees here within the next few weeks, actually. Concerned citizens up here in Sonoma County have formed a grassroots organization called sostrees.org. You can go to our website, sos-trees.org. That stands for Save Our Sonoma Trees. So I just want to bring this to the attention of the panel, because this could be, you know, potentially very damaging to the environment and really affect property values up here.
Well, thank you for that call. Raul or Julia?
No, it sounds like a very interesting story. I'd love to know more about it. I was not aware. This is exactly the kind of reason we're having this conversation here today. Chris, thanks for the call.
Yeah, thank you, Chris. Listener writes, squatters moving into foreclosed homes, squatters' rights, and what cities and communities can do. Rochelle writes, there's been no coverage of hospitals maintaining tax-exempt status in California while making profits close to $1 billion a year. At the same time, hospitals are closing services to patients. For example, Herrick Hospital in Berkeley continues to be cut. Our communities are being underserved due to hospital executives retaining lavish salaries while the most vulnerable in our communities suffer. Another listener writes, I'd like to hear more about the challenges faced by working parents and the lack of affordable quality early care and education. State budget cuts have already reduced access for low-income working parents, and deeper cuts may happen this year. And already, the state child care reimbursement rate is less than the going rate for doggy daycare in the Bay Area.
Yeah, we'll have huge challenges ahead of us if this, looking ahead to the budget cuts that may go into effect, we will have our hands full trying to cover all the ramifications of that, and this would certainly be a story.
And all the people that are being affected by these cuts, all the stories that
yes,
are there.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. There's a lot there.
Here's another listener, Kim, who says child care and early education services are used by families of all income levels. Research shows that parents with access to child care are more likely to be employed and have higher earnings than parents who lack such assistance, and this is especially true for single mothers. The governor's budget proposal would cut funding for child care by over 20%, $2 million. That would mean a cut of over 40% since 2008, or nearly $1 billion. Another listener from Berkeley says, I'd like to see regular coverage of the Occupy movement. There are still two general meetings a week in Oakland, as well as weekly anti-repression marches. They have been involved in raising questions about police killings of black youth, the HEAT conference about sexual slavery, the use of the public commons for the public and farmland for farming, education and school closings, labor issues, prisoner support. I believe many people would like to hear about all the activism generated by the Occupy movement. That's from Sawyer in Berkeley. Here's Alfredo, who says, give voice to non-nostalgic, non-boosteristic points of view from elderly, septuagenarian, octogenarian, nonagenarian Bay Area citizens on reporting pieces about current changes in political, social, cultural issues in the Bay Area. All right, there's a word for our older citizens. Let me go to more of your calls. Let's hear from Peter. Good morning.
Hi, it's Peter Warfield from Library Youth
Association. Hi, Peter.
Hi, Michael. Thank you for having this program. I think it's terrific to have it, and it's much needed. Two major issues that I think are need a great deal more coverage are libraries, including the book de-emphasis, the cultural and artistic destruction that in some cases is happening, and the attacks on Sunshine, particularly in San Francisco. With respect to libraries in Bernal Heights in San Francisco, there's a wonderful historic multicultural community created mural that features Victor Jara, Holly Near, honors working women, contains a neighborhood history. All of that is to be wiped out at an unspecified date next month under the current plan, and to be replaced on at least two sides anyway with a complete replacement that somebody very close to the original mural called a sanitized and gentrified product. Issues included there include privatization, a community process that was not really a community process at all, and a whole range of sort of issues that have gotten almost no coverage in the press or on KQED.
Okay, Peter, we thank you for that. And again, we're hearing from many listeners about things that we can do a better job on, which is really valuable. And as many of you know, we're on Sirius Satellite this first hour. Probably should be more the second hour. I'll get that editorial comment in. But we have a listener who's calling us from West Palm Beach, Florida. And that's you, Glenn. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing, sir?
Yeah, go ahead, Glenn.
Yeah, hi. I wanted to bring up, I'm in the agriculture community here in West Palm Beach, Florida. And I think there's a lot of things that are not brought to light that I think is very always put under the rug. One of them being a big misconception that a lot of people that I know is that, you know, I'm in the agriculture industry, and we receive federal grants from the government. That is a really big thing that I have to tell people, is because we're not. We only receive like 0.7% of government funding. Most of it goes to the cattle industry, the pig industry. And that's one thing that I think needs to be brought to light, because down here in Florida, we've lost in the last 10 years about 400 tomato farmers due to NAFTA and strict regulation. And it's amazing how most of these farmers, even such as Cargill, is now going over to Mexico to put farms there because it's cheaper. It's sad to say that we've been seen as somebody in the agricultural industry as a produce farmer. Usually gets the rap for using high levels of pesticides, whatnot. And we use what you use every day, Dawn soap, to take care of most of our problems.
Glenn, I'm thankful that you're bringing this to our attention. I wanted to just mention to you that Forum will be covering the Farm Bill tomorrow during this hour, so you will want to tune into that, and I hope you will learn something up to date about that. But thank you for that contribution. Here's a listener just on a general says, I would rather hear more local and regional news than national news. You can listen to national news on any station, but rarely anything in our local communities, which is exactly what these newsrooms are about. But on the other hand, I get emails like this from a listener named Paul in Sacramento. I'd be interested in hearing coverage as to why Russia supports the Syrian government in spite of their criminal actions, the Syrian protest movement. It would be useful to pair this presentation with a similar analysis as to why our country supports Israel in light of their continuing conduct that violates international law. We do cover international issues on Forum. In your newsroom, it's more local and regional, really, for the most part.
Well, absolutely. But again, we have a very highly educated population here in the Bay Area, and I think their interests, run far, far and wide, from international to microscopic details of their neighborhoods. And the beauty of this program is that we're seeing a balance of that. You're seeing that come out through the comments that people are jumping in on. At one of the Alameda gatherings, there was a guy who really wanted to know why our government was was condoning the new leader of Serbia, and why aren't we taking a greater stand there? And this is a guy sitting in a bar in Alameda. He could have told me about, you know, wages for laborers there. But, you know, his mind was elsewhere. And that's the beauty of human beings. You know, we've got a wide range. We try here at KQED to reflect that, to sort of feed all of those interests. And again, I guess my own personal bias, of course, because I'm talking about regional coverage here, is that I'd love to see us do more regional and tap into some of the daily struggles of the people in our own Bay Area. And I'm hoping that these ideas that are coming forth here will be fodder for some of that coverage.
Raul?
And of course, it's not only that we live in a very well-educated area, but also we live in a very international area. Our neighbors, when they look at news events, something that is happening across the Pacific or across the Atlantic or in South America and Central America might be closer to their lives than something that is happening at City Hall in their community. And we are looking to establish a balance. One of the ways that we do this is that we look for the local manifestation of international developments or national developments as well. When there are certain kinds of stories that are international stories that we need to localize, and we need to look through the eyes of our neighbors who may have relatives, friends, interest in communities in the areas that are affected. We're very much aware of that. And frankly, you will have to cover your eyes and ears very forcefully to not be aware of the international nature of the Bay Area. So we're very, very have a great intention to tap into those areas of coverage. And I'd like to hear more story ideas that relate to that international life and rhythm in the Bay Area.
Well, obviously, we'd like to hear more stories from you and more of what we should be covering. I want to give my own kudos to our news department, which I think is terrific in terms of the work they do, but we can all do better and are all aiming to do better by you, who are our listeners. So let us know. More information is available at kqed.org/community. The next meetup in Richmond, June 1st, Friday at 11 a.m. That's Clean Express in Richmond tomorrow. And the open newsrooms will go on. Thank you, Julia McAvoy, Senior Editor, KQED News. And thanks, Raul Ramirez, Executive Director, News and Public Affairs for KQED. Thank you, our listeners. We wouldn't be here without you. We're here with you Monday through Friday, 9 to 11, with an hour repeated 10 to 11 in the evening. Thanks to our Senior Editor, Dan Zoll, and to our producers, Judy Campbell and Tina Lauerberg. Our engineer is Danny Bringer, and our executive producer is, as I've said, Raul Ramirez. I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio, the Germanicos Foundation, and the Generosity Foundation in honor of Louise and Claude Rosenberg, and by a generous gift from Jan Schrem and Maria Minetti Schrem, owners of Clos Pegase Winery, who believe that all people deserve access to education, information, and culture for a lifetime of exploration and learning.